Okay, so as I said, we are looking at John 11, and this is the passage where Jesus raises Lazarus. Remember how I've said before that there are the seven signs of the first part of John's Gospel. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, and all the way through chapter 12, we have these seven miracles. But remember, in John, the word that's preferred almost all the time is signs. And that is indicative of the fact that these are more than just simply, I've said this before, these are more than simply Jesus doing something that's remarkable and impressive. I mean, he's certainly doing that, right? But it's more. There's a symbolic significance to many of these. Some of these are discoverable, right? I always use this as the easiest example, healing of the blind man. I mean, he heals this blind man, he restores his sight, but the passage makes clear that what's really at stake is healing from spiritual blindness, right? It's easy to see in John 9. Some of the other ones, it's not so easy. The miracle at Cana, the water to wine, that one maybe not so easy. We dealt with that, and hopefully that's clear. But when we look at all of these miracles, the culmination of these in this first 12 chapters, this first part, is the raising of Lazarus. And this is where many things come together, including, I would say, the core of John's gospel could be summarized in John 3:16 and 17. Now, of course, you could summarize the message of Jesus in John 3:16 and 17, not just the gospel of John, but I would say especially in the gospel of John you can see it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So, Jesus has to give his life to save everybody else's. Well, that's exactly what happens when he raises Lazarus. To heal this man, or well, not heal him, to revive him from the dead, he essentially has to give his life. It's just in the reverse order. You might say, well, why do you say that? Well, look at the end of John 11. After Jesus raises Lazarus, this is it. This is the deed that leads the Jewish leaders to say, okay, we got to do something about this guy. Verse 45, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. And then down in 53, so from that day on, they planned to put him to death. What miracle caused them to go over the edge, you might say, when Jesus heals, or I keep saying heals, when Jesus raises Lazarus. That's it. So again, I think this is paradigmatic of this idea that Jesus has to give his life for the life of other people. Here it's Lazarus, but of course, spiritually it's all of us, right? And so I think that is not, there are so many similarities with the story of Lazarus and the story of Jesus' resurrection. It's hard to miss those, I think. Okay, well, let's look at the text then. And this is one of those, you know, I've had a hard time, as I said I would in the beginning of the class. A hard time because we can't talk about every single passage in detail. We just don't have time for that. So I've had to be selective, and I've skipped around some things, and I don't like that. We're not going to skip anything here. This story is too rich, it's too powerful. I just don't feel like we can do it. So we have to talk about these details, at least in my view. All right? So a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Lazarus is a Greek version of the more common name Eleazar. So, the Greek form again is Lazarus. Sometimes you even find that in some inscriptions in Hebrew, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. All right, Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Now let's think about what's happened here. What do we know about Jesus' relationship with Lazarus to this point? What has been said about it in the Gospel of John? Anybody know? Nothing. Okay. So we only know what we're told here. Well, Jesus loved him. And I think that's a very powerful way to put it in verse 3. They don't come to Jesus and they say, Lazarus, or our brother, my brother, or the brother of Mary is ill. He whom you love is ill. Okay, so this isn't somebody Jesus doesn't know. It's not even somebody that Jesus with whom Jesus has an acquaintance. It's somebody he loves. Jesus' actions in this story are surprising. Because we might assume that he's ready to just leave at that moment. That's not what he does. Jesus heard it. He said, this illness does not lead to death. Is that true? Why does he say that? Why does he say this illness does not lead to death? Lazarus is dead. We don't know that yet in the narrative, but we find it out in just a few verses. Why does he say that? Yeah.
Because he knew that he was going to resurrect him.
Right. So ultimately, it wouldn't lead to death. It's not like basically Lazarus is going to stay in the tomb. Yeah, I think that's it. But it's interesting that he says that because that could mislead them. And I think it's really interesting to think about, is he already dead at this point when they send him? It doesn't sound like it, but maybe he is, or very close to it. But Jesus says this illness doesn't lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory. Have we seen that before? Where Jesus performs a miracle for the glory of God? Have we seen that? Anybody? What was that in? Anybody remember? What? Sorry, I can't hear. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, good. At the beginning of John 9, what was said? Who sinned or this guy? I'm sorry. Who sinned, this guy or his parents, right? And Jesus says, neither one of them, but this is for God's glory. Same thing here, right? And he qualifies that even more. He says, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Through what? What's the it, do you think? What? Could be. It could be the illness, but it could be both together. The